Got Jet fans. When you're in Miami, almost half the stadium is filled with Jet fans. Based on the fact that the team has not won a lot of championships, it makes you wonder why they stay so loyal. With Dallas, for example, there are so many Cowboy fans because they won so many world championships. Well, the Jets haven't won but one. The Jet fans are waiting on their day to come. They're waiting on their day of deliverance.
Chapter 1. Bruce Coslet.
When the Jets brought in Dick Steinberg as general manager and Bruce Coslet as coach, it seemed they were moving into the 20th century after being stuck in the Joe Walton era. Coslet, however, proved to be too meteoric in his dealings with the team. He too came off as a coach who thought he invented the game, often patronizing reporters and chastising them for having no idea what they were talking about. All the while, though, Coslet failed to win enough games to support his arrogance. In fact, he coached the Jets for 4 seasons and never produced a single winning year, making the playoffs once with an 8-8 record and quickly bowing out in a wild-card loss to the Oilers in Houston in 1991-92. Most telling of Coslet's downfall was his inept offense, which produced only 36 points in the final 6 games of the 1993 season. Coslet had arrived as a supposed offensive guru after having been a successful offensive coordinator with the Cincinnati Bengals. Bruce, why? After his third game as an NFL head coach, Bruce Coslet refused to make his way down from his second-floor office to the press room on the first floor for an interview the day after a 37 loss to the Buffalo Bills. Instead, he conducted a conference call from his office to the press room. The entire scene made for a rather humorous moment as 9 beat writers hovered around a small speaker box, talking to the head coach, who was in his office no more than a 20-yard field goal away. The first question, which came from Peter Finney Jr., then the beat writer for the New York Post, was, "Bruce, why are you doing this?" Coslet explained that he was too busy to come downstairs for a press conference, claiming that because the Buffalo game was a Monday night game, he had no time on Tuesday for a press conference. "It's because I don't have time to deal with you guys today," Coslet said. "I'm in the middle of a game plan. I got my whole staff in my office and we're working on New England, our next opponent. We're a day short. That's the reason. Next question." Coslet unplugged. One of Bruce Coslet's memorable moments and first of many attempts at media manipulating came when he closed the doors to the press room in his first year and asked everyone to turn off their tape recorders. The press room at the Jets facility, Webb Eubank Hall, was crowded even though it was about half full. It was completely silent. Coslet, who always looked nervous, stood with a crumpled piece of white notebook paper that he always had with him. It was his agenda for the day. Speaking about quarterback Ken O'Brien, whom he inherited upon taking the Jets' job with whom he wasn't admired, Coslet went off in an off-the-record session with reporters. "Look, you know my quarterback sucks. I know my quarterback sucks. Everyone knows my quarterback sucks." Coslet's message: he didn't have the kind of quarterback he needed to win. Am I going to be paralyzed? On November 29th, 1992, against Kansas City, Scott Mercero lined up on defense as he always did. As the play broke, he realized it was a stunt. He ran around the corner and zeroed in on Kansas City quarterback Dave Craig. Craig was his for the taking. He ran at him with all his momentum and strength as Craig stepped up to throw. Pow! Out of nowhere, a helmet hit him in the chest, and he crumpled to the ground, gasping for air. But Mercero was lucky. Dennis Byrd, another Jet, had come around the opposite end of the line and grabbed Craig right as Mercero got to the quarterback. The helmet that knocked the wind out of Mercero was Byrd's. Byrd lay motionless on the Giant Stadium turf. "Am I going to be paralyzed?" he asked as he looked up at the team of Jets doctors. As Mercero walked off the field trying to regroup from the blow, he saw Byrd being carried away on a stretcher with the team orthopedist and assistant trainer, and realized what had happened and how serious the injury was. As Byrd was carted away, several teammates hurried over and gently touched him. Veterans James Hastie, Paul Frays, Brian Washington, Mike Brim, R.J. Coors, and Marvin Washington, his best friend on the team, were among them. "You know what could happen to you," Jets linebacker Mo Lewis said.